Hey, Drew.
Hey.
Hey. I think it's about time we hit the road, Jack. I mean, Drew.
Do you know who I am?
I'm John.
And I'm Drew.
And you're listening to The Hourchive,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
So what we mean when we say landmarks and attractions, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I know you will, is...
Well, only if you're wrong.
Right. Destinations that people seek out.
Okay.
They gotta go in search of these things. They are...
Yeah.
Destinations, they're unto themselves.
Often not marketed. Like, beyond word of mouth...
Yeah.
Or beyond the general proximity.
They're part of the culture. They're just sort of accepted that these things are out there and these are the things that people go see.
Yes.
So
that may include national landmarks, national parks. That may include weird, like, Americana culture kind of stuff. Roadside attractions. I think what really defines it, and you kind of got me here, is you don't see a lot of marketing for them. They're assumed that you either know about them just because, you know, it's the Grand Canyon. You've heard about the Grand Canyon, right? Word of mouth, or reputation, legend.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, legend.
Or it's you're legend, on a trip and you see a road sign. Because you're within however many miles of the place.
Right.
So that you happen upon it. Or you've heard about it from a friend or something.
Yeah.
Who they happened upon it.
There.
And they're like, it was so weird and so cool, you need to go. Right? So I have a lot of experience with the national parks and with the sort of natural landmarks of our beautiful country. Because growing up, we would go on road trips every summer. My family would take me, usually out west, but we went out east a few times as well. Because, you know, we're centrally located, so...
That's right. We're right in the heart of everything here.
Either way, you know, it was a long trip either way, and we took the trip. And I won't talk about the road trip itself, because it's for another show.
Right.
But some of the places that I remember... most distinctly were the canyons and things out west. So places like Utah.
These were not the Grand Canyon. These were the...
These are like...
Moderate Canyon.
Places like Arches National Park. It's in Utah. And it's near a city called Moab. Arches is a sort of canyon land.
Oh, and I like that. Canyon land.
Yeah. Well, there's a Canyonlands National Park as well, but it's not arches. Arches are natural rock formations of, you know, natural rock archways. So you have, and it's the national park itself just happens to be a large collection of them. And probably the most famous, maybe, is Delicate Arch, which is at least used to be, I don't know if it still is, on the... Utah state license plate.
Oh.
Featured.
I thought you were going to say, like, it used to be in Utah.
Now they've
moved. I'm not sure if it still is.
It might have fallen. But no, there's beautiful landscapes, like rock, really strange rock formations. You can walk all over them and walk up to them and stuff like that.
Are there, like, cave paintings and things?
There are, yeah, cave drawings and Native American drawings, you know, on the rock in certain areas. It's really cool. It's like another world.
Nice.
It really is. I think Bill Watterson described it as such. He based a lot of his Spaceman Spiff art, the landscapes that Spaceman Spiff found himself
on. Sort of
on,
weird pastel.
Yeah, based on what he saw out west. If you want to feel like you're in a Spaceman Spiff comic, go out west. You got, yeah, so Arches National Park, Canyonlands is out there, but I'm not sure which state that's in. Man, my mom and dad are like so disappointed with me
they
right now.
Threw their computer out the window.
Glacier National Park.
I've heard of Glacier National Park.
Crater Lake.
Ooh.
Which is a very cool place.
Made by a crater?
Made by a crater. And it's a lake that has been, the lake bed itself was created by a crater or by a meteorite. That's when it hits, right?
Mm-hmm.
Meteorite impact.
Hmm.
And the lake itself is like a mirror.
You mean in that it's
so reflective,
distinctly sharp.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like you're looking at the sky and the ground.
Wow.
It's very cool.
Is that because of all the mercury in it?
No, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Yes. Okay. Could be. Maybe. but yeah, there's a lot of really great national parks out west, and there's good ones out east too, but... another really reminiscent one, another memorable one is Mount St. Helens, which is in
Oregon, isn't it?
Oregon,
yeah,
I believe. And it is, Mount St. Helens is a volcano.
Mm-hmm.
And
still active, right?
1981.
Yeah.
It erupted and decimated the surrounding area, and it's still. You go there and it's still decimated. I mean, it's crazy. But it has a really nice visitor center with high-tech exhibits.
It has
stuff.
Really great restrooms.
It does. And... it does.
My parents went to Mount St. Well, I don't know if they went to Mount St. Helens, but they went to Oregon one time and they came back with a video of Mount St. Helens.
Yeah.
Like a documentary about it. And they've never finished it because every time they watch it, they fall asleep. It's great.
Oh.
It's fantastic.
Mount Hood,
mm-hmm.
Mount Rainier. These are all in the same general area.
Yeah. Have you been to Mount Yosemite?
Yep.
That's not a mount.
I know.
Is it?
Yosemite, though, is a national park.
It's the national park, isn't it?
Is it?
I mean, isn't it considered sort of our national park?
It might. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like the flagship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the one that everybody knows.
Redwoods.
Oh, yeah. That's where they film parts of Return of the Jedi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the speeder bikes stuff.
The Sequoia National Park, which is also massive trees,
mm-hmm.
just like the Redwoods.
There's a national park someone told me about once that it's like, it has a real name, but it also has this nickname, which is like the Forest of Lost Children. And apparently it's like, I guess a bunch of kids disappeared there and now it's presumed haunted by them.
I am not familiar with this.
Neither am I. Like, I've just heard about
it.
You're
freaking me
out. Tried to look it up, and when I look up Forest of Lost Children, I never find anything. So I don't know that it's real or not. But if anybody's ever heard of that story, I'd love to know, because I want to go to that national park.
I don't.
That's a national park that I would definitely be eager to go to.
That sounds scary.
It does sound scary. Why do you think I want to go?
Yeah. I don't like that kind of thing.
I find, but honestly, I am a little bit scared of national parks.
Yeah.
Period.
Nature.
I'm scared of nature. I'm not going to lie. All
right.
Well, I'm not scared of it. I respect that nature is unpredictable in ways that I find disquieting.
Maybe there's something that you be in your wheelhouse is Carlsbad Caverns.
Okay.
I think it's in New Mexico.
Carlsbad, New Mexico?
Is that New Mexico?
I thought it was California.
It might be California.
Maybe I'm thinking of Carl's Jr. That's from California.
Carlsbad Caverns, though, is a... it's caverns,
mm-hmm.
but there's bats living in it, in mm-hmm. the caverns. And what you can do is go to this place. Yeah, it's in New Mexico. I was right.
Nice.
And they've got a little amphitheater set up around the opening, the mouth of the cave,
mm-hmm.
right? And you go there at dusk, you sit down, and you watch this mass exodus of millions, literally millions of bats as they fly over your head out into the night.
That's pretty badass.
It's very cool.
I had a similar experience in Austin. There's a bridge in Austin, Texas that's like at the Bat Bridge. It's the Congress Avenue Bridge.
I've heard
about
this.
And 2 million bats, I think, live underneath there in the summer.
It's amazing.
And at sundown, they all go streaming out and they go out to feed.
It's incredible.
And it's pretty rad seeing. I mean, it's like a cartoon. It's like a CGI effect in a movie. Just the sky dotted with all these little flapping things.
And that's very cool.
They're loud too. You can hear them from a long ways away.
It's
interesting.
I don't know if it's. Have you seen it? You said you've seen it. The Austin one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it, did it seem like it was never going to end?
Yeah. Like that it just kept going for like 45 minutes. They just kept pouring out of there. Yeah.
Nature is cool.
Nature. Yeah. I mean,
but it is scary. You're right.
I'm coming around to liking nature a lot more than I used to.
Good for you.
Like as a child, I wanted nothing to do with nature.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm getting better about that, you know? But it's still, to me, I think it's still sort of the extremes. I find the extremes interesting. Mm-hmm. So I like extremely barren wastelands, or I like extremely like fertile and vivid. Like I would love to see the redwoods. I think
they're
that
beautiful.
That would be incredible.
I think sequoia is better though.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the trees are bigger.
Good to know.
You like the extreme Niagara Falls. Extreme drop.
Extreme falls. No, I guess I just mean like, I know a lot of people who are just who can take inspiration and really enjoy themselves in just a modest forest, you know, or on a hillside or something like that.
And you're like, that's your basic forest.
Yeah, I guess.
Show me the tallest trees.
I like breathtaking stuff. Yeah. You know,
you want to go?
Yeah, I want to be like
that. Do that. You get out of the car. Oh, that's what it is, right?
Yeah, that's exactly.
Oh my!
Oh my! Extreme forest.
There needs to be a show.
We count down the top 10 most extreme forests. Number 10. Dunes. Extreme dunes. Extreme.
There are dunes in America, my friend.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
I believe it.
I've been on them.
Okay.
Sand Dunes National Park is in Colorado.
Hmm.
It's like this strange anomaly.
They have sand in Colorado, but they have snow in Colorado.
They're sand dunes, like desert.
Weird.
Like what you would expect to see in a desert.
Colorado's whack.
You've seen you've seen the movie Vacation.
Yeah.
Do you remember the scene where Clark, after wrecking the family truckster in the middle of the desert, goes out on an expedition to find a gas station?
Yes.
And at one point, he's coming down a sand dune.
Yes.
And he's got, like, his pants on his head. And he tumbles down, and he's like, oh, it's so hot. And
Did you tumble down that dune?
I reenacted that scene.
No.
My dad filmed it.
How old were you?
I was probably
29.
I was probably a teenager, maybe preteen.
Nice. Good reference.
But I didn't put my pants on my head, but I did pretend like in that clip, he pretends like he's like really hot and really weighted down. And so he removes his watch and acts like a huge burden has been lifted. So I did that. And
that's
I
good.
Rolled that. And I did it in full view of a bunch of other tourists. And I don't think you're supposed to go on the sand dunes.
Oh.
But my dad totally.
They have
totally
like a fence around them?
No. I think it's just off a
ways. Please do not touch the dunes.
I can't remember. I don't think you were supposed to, though. And my dad was like, just go do it.
Nice.
Go for it. I'm a big advocate for national parks. I was a junior ranger.
Really?
And that consisted of filling out some quizzes and stuff about national parks. I was given a badge. I even made a comic about it at one point. We could link to it. We can link to it. It's one of the things that we've done really well as a country is to preserve those parks, those natural, and some aren't natural, some national landmarks, right? Mm-hmm. We do a good job, I think, of preserving that kind of stuff.
Where are you going?
Oh, there's got to be a phone or a gas station around here somewhere, honey.
Well, all right, but if you're not back in an hour...
I'll be fine. You'll be fine. I'm sure this sort of thing happens all the time. A patrol car will be by any minute. Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go.
Ho! Ah.
1,000 bottles of beer on the wall, 1,000 bottles of beer. 4 bottles of beer. If one of those bottles should happen before. I love a parade. The trampling of feet that I love every beat I hear of a drum. I love a parade. Here, man, I just want to stand until they come.
We pass a goddamn gas station every 100 yards for 1,000 miles. But when you really need one, you end up walking your ass off.
This is no way to run a desert.
There's the big ones, like the Mount Rushmore.
Uh-huh.
Which, it's funny, you don't realize how you can't get anywhere near it. When you go to see it, you're very far away from it. The viewing.
Have you been there? You've been to Mount Rushmore?
Yeah.
I have not.
But you're nowhere near it. I mean, you're close enough to see it.
Right.
It's big, though. It's massive, so you don't have to get that close. But, like, the viewing station or whatever...
Now, is it true that there's like a cave in George Washington's nose or whatever?
I don't know.
You should get up there.
What's the legend there?
I don't know. I don't know where it originated, but I remember maybe it was in that movie. Maybe it was in
Richie Rich with Macaulay Culkin. There's a scene that takes place isn't it? Or is it actually?
I don't know.
It might actually be a Mount Rushmore of their family.
They may have their own, they get their own Mount Rushmore. Oh, I like that. I like that. That's good. No, I'm thinking of North by Northwest. There's a scene at Mount Rushmore. I think it's North by Northwest. Anyway, I've seen pop cultural instances where Mount Rushmore was depicted as having like a cave somewhere inside the rock.
And maybe. I don't know.
Maybe it's National Treasure. Maybe there's one of those. Like, there's some sort of secret passage back there that leads to the center of the earth or something.
We've got to go through Madison's nose.
That's a terrible Cage. Nicolas Cage.
I like it. I like it, though.
No, that's a good one. I've never been there, but it's remarkable. It's memorable. Everybody knows about it.
Yeah. Devil's Tower.
That's definitely memorable.
I've been there. Have you been there?
Damn.
I've been there.
I have not been there.
I've been there.
I shaped my mashed potatoes like it for like a decade. But
this means something.
Toby, you are close to death. That movie had... Talk about Close Encounters. That has like my favorite Richard Dreyfuss line when he's sitting there trying to concentrate. And he's thinking about that tower and his kids are just going crazy. And he just flips out. He's like, Toby, you are close to death.
Amazing.
No, that's a cool. Structure,
and it's really impressive in person. I mean, that one you can get
close to that.
You get right up to it. You can climb the thing if you want.
Wow,
rock climbers go up it all the time.
Huh.
That one's very cool. I like that one a lot.
Good deal.
Grand
Canyon.
I've been there. I've been to Grand Canyon,
Niagara Falls. Have you been to Niagara Falls?
I've been there.
What about like mountain ranges? Have you been to like the Rocky Mountains and the other mountains?
Appalachians. Yeah.
Are there others? Sierra?
There are others. Acadia? Yeah.
Maybe. There's a bunch of mountains and cliffs out in California, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would love to see, it's not really a landmark, but I would love to see the California coast, like the Northern California coast with all the cliffs and stuff.
Maybe not like a official landmark, but a landmark in of itself, I think.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
The coast. The coast could be considered a landmark, right?
Yeah.
It's the coast.
Everybody goes to the beach.
The edge of the country.
Goes to the coast.
I mean, the oceans themselves, That's a lot of people get really...
That's a landmark for a lot of people.
Really inspired by seeing the ocean.
It has a culture unto itself.
Yeah, it does.
Seaside culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The beach.
Yeah. Plymouth Rock. I've been to Plymouth Rock.
I've been to Plymouth Rock.
That's technically a natural landmark. Yeah. It's a rock.
It's got a little plaque on it.
It's got a little gazebo over it.
It does.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, but it's there.
It's sort of like a boathouse.
Yeah.
I went down there, like, I sort of expected, like, Jaws to come out of the water. Because it kind of reminds me of the ride.
Oh, no. But... we're being attacked. Hope we're safe in this shed.
And, you know, wasn't it true that Plymouth Rock, where, like, the actual landing spot that we attribute to Plymouth Rock was actually further out.
Yeah.
It was, like, way out of the harbor where that there's that curl that the land makes. And
I think you're right.
Plymouth Rock is actually sort of in the harbor along the actual land.
I think
mass.
What they have, like, identified as Plymouth Rock is not actually Plymouth Rock.
Yeah.
Which is, you know,
it's an honorary
get
Plymouth
over
Rock.
It.
Yeah.
Liberty Bell.
Liberty Bell. That's a good one. Yeah.
Been there.
Damn.
Boston's really good. Boston's a great town. They have the Freedom Trail, I think it's called.
Oh, right. Where you can see all those.
Yeah, see all the historic sites.
Yeah.
Paul
Revere's ride.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
There's a cemetery that has a bunch of famous people buried in it. Mm-hmm. Like famous Americans.
Colonial Americans.
Yes.
What about Liberty Tree? Is that in Boston? Or is that in Philadelphia?
No.
Is the Liberty Tree real?
I don't know.
It's at Disney World, but I don't know. Is there a real Liberty Tree? I don't know.
I don't know either. It's in Disney World, though.
The Bell is in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Statue of Liberty.
Statue of Liberty. I have been to the Statue of Liberty.
I haven't.
Oh. Well, of course not, because I have.
And we can never have gone.
No,
to
we got to keep
one.
This balanced. No, I remember looking up at the Statue of Liberty. I went because I wanted to see it, but my dad really wanted to see it.
Yeah,
and I went to New York with my dad one time, and that was like sort of our one thing we were going to do was go see that lady, quote unquote. And we got up there, and it was pretty cool. It's not towering in the way that I think other structures are towering, like. You know, when you're standing in front of like the Hancock Building or the Sears Tower, Willis Tower, whatever, and you look up at it, and it's like literally imposing. Like you sort of feel like you're being like knocked backwards by the immenseness of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel that way when I was looking at the Statue of Liberty. But
she's kind of overtaken.
Well, I don't know. Part of me thinks it's just because there's nothing around her for context.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't look that big
from
the ground.
She's in the open
sky. Yeah. She's just standing there. But it's cool.
The best thing that ever happened to her was Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah. When our love lifted her higher.
Your love.
And she...
lifting me higher.
She brought the ghost. She broke through that museum. She got the Ghostbusters. Yeah.
Do you know that always seems so like an inefficient use of what they had there to me?
Like, oh, she just comes and
all
drops them off.
All she does.
She doesn't do anything. Yeah. Why doesn't she battle Vigo, the Master of Evil?
If they made that movie today, she would have.
She would have,
There'd be a knockdown dragout. But I love that scene.
Yeah.
It's so
great.
Good.
Yeah.
And her walking through the city. Yeah.
She crushes that police car.
Because it's reminiscent of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah. I argue it's better than the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
It is, but I'm just saying, like, it calls back to that.
Yeah.
But also, it's a different spin because they're now it's a good guy.
Takes it forward. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great, that's a great scene. And they use a Nintendo control stick to.
Yeah, the Advantage.
Yeah, it's a control.
I like how they make no mention in that movie about, like, When they're like, okay, we need a symbol, you know? And, like, immediately, the city is okay with them covering the inside of the Statue of Liberty with slime and taking it off of its pedestal.
Yeah.
The thing's been sitting in the harbor rotting, basically, you know, withering for 100 years. And they're
and
just going to
let them walk it
through the water.
Not to mention the amount of damage they cause walking
in
through
the
city.
Stepping on cars and stuff. Yeah.
And how did they get it back?
Yeah, suddenly it was back there. We never
did
found
they walk
out.
It back the same way?
I guess so. Maybe it walked backwards.
Because she was made more powerful by the response that the
people the reaction gave. Of people. Maybe they were so ecstatic after the Ghostbusters
she
won.
She flew.
That she just left. While we're talking about the Statue of Liberty, though, I think we should also mention Escape from New York.
Mm.
And it's sort of the bookend to that Cloverfield.
Yeah.
Which in Escape from New York, when when that was first released, the poster for it had the head of the Statue of Liberty in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
And like Kurt Russell's like running from, you know, behind it or whatever.
It's a good poster.
It's a great poster. But that scene is not in the movie. Like at no point does the Statue of Liberty ever appear. So then it was awesome in Cloverfield when the monster or whatever, spoiler,
threw it.
Rips the head off the Statue of Liberty and throws it into the street in Manhattan. So great.
Well, and the reason that the Statue of Liberty never showed up in Escape from New York is because it was not filmed in New York.
That's right. It was filmed in St. Louis.
St. Louis,
well,
Missouri.
Most of it was filmed
lots
in St. Louis.
Lots of it.
Some of it was filmed.
Show you all the spots. Come visit.
Yeah, we'll take you around. We'll go on an Escape from St. Louis tour.
The Statue of Liberty gets used a lot.
Yeah, it's a good symbol.
It's a very identifiable symbol of, like, if it's damaged, that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, spoiler, Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't believe I forgot about that one. Yeah. And Spaceballs.
What does he say? You did it.
You did it, didn't you? You blew it all to hell. No, he says, you blew it up. Damn you. Damn you all to hell. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I'm back. I'm home. All the time. We finally, really did it. You maniacs! You blew it up! Oh, damn you! God damn you all to hell!
What's great is that the remake by Tim Burton, and it's his version of that was Marky Mark coming back to what he thought was,
remember that
what he thought was his time, like back to where he came from, but he gets there and everyone's apes. Like, everyone has evolved from apes.
Oh, everybody, yeah.
And he looks up at the Lincoln Memorial, and it's an,
and
ape,
it's an ape.
Ape Lincoln.
Oh, man.
It's Ape Lincoln.
I don't remember that at all. I have apparently completely erased that from memory.
There's another one, though. Lincoln Memorial, Washington Memorial.
Yeah, a lot of
Washington
them in Washington.
Washington Monument, I should say.
The Washington Monument.
And it's real. Those are really good. Those I've seen those, a lot of those monuments and landmarks, and those are worth going to.
Yeah, I definitely want to visit those.
I mean, I felt very patriotic, and not in a...
You feel unified.
You do.
Right?
Yeah, you do. I think it's really kind of sweeps you up in that feeling, in a good way.
I have a similar reaction to presidential libraries. I have a big thing for presidential libraries, partly because... What are you laughing at?
No, keep going.
I do. No, I have a similar reaction when going through them, because at least the recent presidential libraries, ones made within like the last, I don't know, 10 or 20 years or whatever, not only, well, they present a narrative of the president's life.
Yeah.
And many of the latter examples do so in a very dramatic way, in a very well articulated way. And I've been to both the Kennedy and the Lincoln libraries, and they're both, they do a really good job of sort of putting you into, getting you into the era, putting you in context of what things were really like, you know, what people were dealing with.
I don't think I've ever been to a presidential library.
They're pretty rad. The Kennedy one was really striking because it, I mean, Kennedy is obviously, when you say Kennedy, I think people immediately think of his assassination. Yeah, unfortunately, that's sort of what our cultural reference point is on that.
Yeah.
But it's handled in such an incredible way there because the thrust of it, the whole presentation is about his life. It's not about his death. And you get to the point where they approach his death, and it's literally just like a black wall.
Hmm.
You come around a corner, there's a black wall.
Spoiler
alert. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to ruin that for you, but
I bet that is actually really striking.
It's extremely powerful. And then what I really like about it is that you emerge from that space. You're in sort of a typical museum format up until mm-hmm. that. You get to this black wall that is supposed to signify his death, and you come around a corner and suddenly you're in this like 5-story atrium.
Nice.
And it's just a flag. It's just this bright, open atrium, and it's sort of it's like a counterpunch to the assassination. Yeah. It's like, you know, the country endures and everything.
Where
like
is
that.
It?
It's in Massachusetts. It's in not in. I don't think it's in Boston. No, it is in Boston. It's like the very, very south edge, South Shore of Boston.
I gotta see this.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Cool. Have you been to the Lincoln Museum in Springfield?
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
Top of the line.
Yeah.
Really great exhibits.
Mm-hmm.
Really well done. Some really smart exhibits. Like they do the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
They present it as if it were to happen today.
Mm-hmm.
If like major news outlets covered it.
Yeah.
There's a room where they present it in that way.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. There's a great... just overall, the design of that museum is awesome.
Yeah.
And it's startling how great it is.
Yeah.
Because there's like a room that has all of the political cartoons that were drawn about Lincoln,
mm-hmm.
you know, mostly against him,
yeah.
negative. And like the walls are these like, I don't know, they're at strange angles and like they're like all these framed cartoons that are, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's very cool. And there's like this atrium that has like his house, a model of his home.
Yes. Yeah. The log cabin or whatever.
There's the log cabin, right. And there's the White House.
Yeah, that's right. You walk through the,
yeah.
the recreated White House.
It's very good.
That's a cool place.
That's yeah. That's a good one to visit. What about the more esoteric landmarks? The ones that you would that you haven't heard about, that maybe you stumbled into or somebody, you know, whispered it to you
mm-hmm.
and legend and myth.
Do you have any?
Oh yeah. Do you?
Yeah.
All right. Let's put it in the archive. well, the one that I've been to is the House on the Rock.
Yes. Which is in
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Okay. Spring Green.
Okay.
Or at least it's close to Spring Green, Wisconsin.
And it's not really on a rock. It's more like in a rock.
It's on a rock.
Okay.
There's a rock and it's on it.
Okay.
It's basically, how do I describe it? So there was this guy, I think his name's Alex Jordan. This guy, Alex Jordan Jr., who was a fan of Andrew Lloyd Wright.
Frank Lloyd Wright?
Yep. I'm tired.
A fan of Andrew Dice Clay.
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Uh-huh.
And wanted to be an architect like mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. And he decided, he saw this rock in Spring Green area, and he's like, I'm going to build a house on that. And it's going to be like Frank Lloyd
Inspired
Wright.
Inspired by Frank yeah. Lloyd Wright.
So what he ended up building was not only that, but two other structures. I think I'm right in what I remember here. There's basically three large structures. Okay. One of them is a house, sort of. Like you, and when you go to this place, when you go to House on the Rock, you buy a ticket, and you can either buy one ticket per attraction. There's three.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can buy a full pass.
A fun pass.
Which you gotta just get that.
Because
mm-hmm. it's, I think it's like $18. And you get access to all three of these areas. So the first area is the mansion. the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably the least interesting, or at least it was to me,
mm-hmm.
but it is still really interesting in that it's this strange, 60s, 70s era architecture,
mm-hmm.
And interior design. The ceilings are really low, mm-hmm. Really low. Like, I don't know how a person would live. The ceilings are so low.
Well, they'd have to shrink.
And everything's carpeted. Everything is carpeted. But there is, you sort of just walk through this strange kind of house, and that's interesting just because it's weird, but it's not that you wouldn't go for the, just this.
Mm-hmm.
If that's all there was, I would say, don't bother.
Stop.
But
I'm not going.
The next two, buildings are basically these, warehouses, not in structure, but in function of massive collections of stuff.
Hmm.
So, each room in the house is a different type of collection. And then there's certain things that you find all throughout, like all throughout both of the houses, you'll find automated music makers.
Hmm.
So it'll be like a sitar that plays itself,
mm-hmm.
or a whole band of self-playing instruments. And all throughout, they're all coin operated. So you put a quarter in and it'll play.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, I think the first thing you walk into is kind of a recreation of Main Street America in a way.
Hmm.
But it's inside, and there's a giant calliope at the end of the boulevard, as it were. But there are these little stores and shop fronts and stuff like that. None of them are real, and you can't buy any facades. But they're like glass. They have glass windows, and inside you see the things that they're selling and stuff like that. And you can put a coin in the calliope, and it's...
Now, was this all orchestrated by...
Yeah. Alex Jordan. I think so.
Okay.
And people have... I think he's dead now, but people have, taken up the cause,
mm-hmm.
following his death. There's... from there on in, you see, there's a room... The most recent addition was this room. I think it was called the... Love of Aviation or something like that, and it's filled with model airplanes hanging from the ceiling and articles on walls about different air news, airplane news different and disasters
clouds.
And stuff.
Yeah,
clouds. there's a room full of dollhouses.
Ooh.
And, of all sizes and shapes. There's a room of suits of armor. There's a room of different suits of armor depicted in dioramas fighting different battles. There's a room of ivory carvings. And what I learned in researching this was that a lot of the stuff there is fake. And they make they don't claim that it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Jordan was like, yeah, a lot of it's fake. I'd rather have something that looks really good and is fake than have something that looks like crap and is real.
It's authentic.
Okay. Yeah. And he likes the idea that people aren't sure. There's a gigantic carousel, and there is not one horse on it, but it's full. It's all different kinds of animals.
Oh, okay.
Did I use the carousel?
Yeah.
Round and round.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looked at me like...
I thought it was... No, because the way you said it was like it's a paradox. You know, it's like... Or a riddle.
Yeah.
This carousel has no horses, but is completely full.
It has every other kind of animal.
Okay.
But in the room that you walk into, it's like a cave.
Uh-huh.
And filling the walls and the ceiling are the horses that were on it. So you're surrounded by the horses.
I'm already creeped out.
It's crazy. And they're in the weirdest...
Sincerely freaked
out. Some
out
have
it.
Wings. So they're hung in the strangest way. It is so weird. And to your left, when you walk in at the end of this cave, is the carousel. You're surrounded by horses. And to your left is a giant monster face that is the entrance to the next building.
whacked.
The best thing in this place, the reason I ended up going, was for the sort of nautical room. Because there is a 200-foot sculpture of a whale fighting a squid. It's awesome.
That's what drew you there?
Yes. It's
you didn't go there
huge.
For the dollhouses?
No. It's huge. The stuff, what's amazing is that one man collected all this stuff. And they're still building onto it. And even the bathrooms are weird. Like, you go in there, there's taxidermied animals in the bathrooms. It's so cool.
It's funny that it started off as, like, the aspiration to build a house, like a Frank Lloyd Wright house. And then it spiraled into this whole weird thing.
I know.
But that's, I don't know, I feel like that sort of eccentricity is sort of the hallmark of people who sort of pursue something like that. They get like a crazy idea in it, and then it just goes haywire, you know.
It becomes
almost like a parable about, like, you know, excessive self-indulgence or something. Like,
but what does it teach? I mean, I like it.
No, I'm not saying, well, I don't know that I'm saying it's bad or good. I think it's interesting that pattern seems to repeat itself. Like, I'm just thinking about like any other like structures that were like, you know, the dream of some person, you
Luna
know,
City,
the Luna City Arcade. Yeah, really. But I mean, we think about them in these terms of, you know, they're all so wacky and weird, you know, but the person who built it didn't necessarily build it because it was wacky and weird.
They had
some compulsion, you know.
Whether
it was they really liked felt and they wanted a room built out of it, or
not felt.
No, what am I thinking of? Have you ever been to Graceland?
No.
It's maybe the archetypal weird house. it's almost the case where like these people were never told no, you know.
Yeah.
They just wanted to do this thing, and they went someplace where no one was going to say, you know, no to them. So Elvis builds this house, and then he decides, well, I want a room that is covered entirely in fabric, and you know, I mean, it's weird. Or I want a jungle room, or you know, whatever. Or the Winchester house, the Winchester mystery house, which I think is endlessly fascinating. I haven't seen it. I haven't been there. But it's this, the wife of the son, I believe, of the Winchester family, the Rifles.
Rifle maker.
Right. believed that after her husband died, she believed
and
that.
The whole family, right?
Yeah. It was
she
a pretty tragic. Yeah. She was the last one. She believed that the family had been cursed either by or because of all of the people who had died.
She believed that she would be haunted by every person who was killed by a Winchester firearm.
Right. And the only way to keep them at bay was to continue building onto this house. This started off as, I think, a 7-room farmhouse. And now it's like 7 billion acres. I mean, it just covers all this land. And there's, you know, staircases that go to nowhere and doors that lead to nothing because they were just put there, you know, to keep building. The goal was not to create a room or create a hallway. It was to keep building.
That's so strange.
And you look at it too, and it's just, it looks fake, you know, it looks like it can't be real. It looks like it's such an exaggeration that it can't be real.
I wonder what her logic was.
I don't know.
Like, if I keep building.
That's weird. It sort of hints that there was something else going on there. Yeah. Psychologically. There's another house that I always think of, similar to the House on the Rock, in Arizona. I just visited, called the Mystery Castle. I always want to say the Magic Castle, but it's not the Magic Castle. The Magic Castle is in L.A.
Yeah,
where all the magicians hang out. Right. The Mystery Castle is this house made out of found items that this guy, back in the 20s, I think, he found out he was diagnosed with tuberculosis. He didn't think he had much time to live. So he basically just kind of abandoned his family and ran away to the desert. And he got there and he started building this house out of whatever he could find. So it's like some of it's like, you know, real building materials like concrete and wood and stuff, but some of it is just like rocks that he found, or wagon wheels that fell off a wagon, or stained glass windows that were going to get destroyed. So he just took all of this stuff and he just kind of cobbled it together and built this crazy house. But again, there's all of these like weird eccentricities that are sort of taken to this comic level. There's a room full of denim, like pillows made out of denim, and like drapes.
At the mystery house?
Yeah.
The mystery, castle?
Yeah. Drapes made out of denim.
Oh, wow.
Like jeans and stuff. It's so weird.
Well, he did this. Why did he do it?
I don't know.
Because he don't have long to live?
Well, yeah. I mean, his presumably...
His legacy.
I don't know if he really believed, you know, okay, he didn't have much time to live, or if he just used that as an excuse.
Right.
Because he just wanted to be eccentric, you know, he wanted to do whatever he wanted to do. But, you know, he was gifted this land.
Yeah.
And it's on the outskirts. It's way away from the urban area, the downtown area.
Hmm.
Off on its own, so he can do whatever he wants out there. And it's just wacky. It's just really bizarre.
A room full of denim.
They're all like that. I feel like every one of those
places.
Crazy houses.
Crazy.
Den of indulgence.
Someone gets it in their head that they've got to do something.
Yeah.
And then they do it.
And then it happens.
Crazily enough.
Yeah.
I've never done that.
Yet.
Yet. St. Louis Arch.
Yeah.
We got a landmark.
There you go. Right downtown.
Gateway to the West.
Yeah. The actual title is the Jefferson Expansion Memorial.
Yeah.
Yeah. Commemorating the westward movement following the Louisiana Purchase. And
nice.
Yeah.
It's a feat of architecture.
It is. It is. It's really the only thing like it in the world.
Yeah.
I think... people who live in St. Louis, I think, sort of take it for granted because we see it all the time. But it is a pretty impressive feat.
They built the two sides
mm-hmm.
at the same time, right?
Yeah.
And they got to the
tandem.
Top. They met in the middle.
Yeah.
And they could have really screwed it up.
They could have. Yeah, what if their like engineering or alignment was off a little bit? They could have.
It only needed to be off a little bit.
Just
and
a tiny,
ruined.
Just a smidge. Yeah,
but they nailed it.
It freaks me out thinking about the construction of that. Like the final, like building the legs. I'm like, okay, I'm cool with that.
Yeah,
you know, sure, you're on this harness and your leg, whatever. But when you get up to the top and the way that it's shaped, it thins the closer you get. It's widest at the base, and then at the base of the legs, and as it closes in, like sort of the thinnest point. Yeah. It's tapered at the center. And there's a great movie. I don't know if it's on YouTube. We'll see if we can find it about the construction of the arch.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
What's the guy's name?
The architect?
Yeah.
Eero Saarinen.
That's him.
Yep. He also designed the Kennedy Airport.
Yeah.
He designed the TWA terminal at Kennedy Airport, which is now JetBlue.
I think
they run it. It's a remarkable mid-century airport. He's my favorite architect.
Yeah.
Definitely. Gung-ho. Yeah. Love that guy.
The arch is an attraction that you can ride.
Yeah.
There's a tram car.
They look like those little, the little pod monorail thing in The Incredibles.
Yeah.
I always think about that, except that it moves vertically instead of horizontally.
They are very small.
Yeah.
Five seats inside of it.
Yeah.
Tiny.
You're huddled
seats.
Together.
There's one window.
Yes. But
you can't see anything.
You're just seeing stairs.
Yeah. You see stairs and structural
steel reinforcements and stuff. Yeah.
And then you get to the top. It takes you up to the top of the arch and you get out. And then you're in this really small enclosed space that is the top of the arch, the viewing area.
Yeah.
And
basically like a hallway with windows.
And it's arched.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the windows are very small too.
Narrow.
Thin, yeah. Narrow windows. And you look out, it kind of freaks you out because you're looking down.
Yeah.
And
because you're kind of curved. The windows are sort of slanted. Yeah.
And on a windy day, it'll sway.
You can feel it swaying. Yeah. You know, one of the original designs, it was actually open at the top. Like, not open, but it was, like, domed.
Yeah.
You know, so you would have a 360-degree view around there. Yeah. Talk about freaky.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's a good one.
I'm fond of it.
So am I.
Have you been to the Space Needle?
Yeah.
Okay. Liked it?
I haven't been up in it.
Oh, okay.
I've seen it.
You've seen it? Okay.
Yeah. It's all right. It's no arch.
Yeah? No. There's a lot of needles.
There are a lot of needles.
That's the thing. There's only
Let's
one
face
arch.
It.
Yeah.
There's a lot of needles.
There's one in San Antonio.
There.
There's one in Toronto, I think. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of needles.
Needles. Not that impressive.
But keep arches. Your needles, America.
Yeah.
In Canada. We don't need them.
What is it? It's either Memphis or Nashville has eggs. Have these big eggs.
I think that's got to be Nashville.
I was thinking it was Memphis.
I've been to Memphis. I don't remember eggs.
I know. Nah. I can't tell you much more than that.
Huh.
There are these eggs.
Giant eggs.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's a thing. Yeah.
So there's a lot to see out there.
And I bet we can... I bet we'll have more to talk about this than if we do addendums.
Yeah.
I bet there's
stuff. Well, and we didn't even really get into too much of the roadside Americana thing. Maybe we'll get into that later.
Yeah, I think we've got plans for that.
We'll get into that later.
Oh, one I did forget. Oh. I wanted to mention this earlier. We're talking about sort of national parks. There's a place called Four Corners.
Oh, yeah.
And Four Corners is where, I'm going to get this wrong, New Mexico,
uh-huh.
Utah, Nevada,
maybe,
and Colorado.
Sounds right. Maybe. Sure it's not Arizona?
Might be Arizona.
Hmm.
Utah, Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico. I've been there. It is where the four corners of those states meet. And you can stand in four states at once.
That's pretty cool.
And really what you're doing is crouching in four states at once. You don't stand in four states. I mean, you could. You could sort of like
put your
feet over the edges, right?
Yeah.
But what people usually do is they put a hand in one state, the left hand in the other, and, you know, both feet. And
they play Twister. They play Twister in four states.
And you get there, and it's this big open space.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, there's a platform raised above the ground, and you go up on the platform, and there's a little plaque, circular plaque, with a cross in it.
Hmm.
And in the circle, in each quadrant of the circle, is the state.
Okay.
And you stand there or you crouch there, and all around it, there are these, basically like the local Native American, tribes and stuff have set up these little roadside shops where they'll sell you jewelry and Native American art and stuff like that.
Okay.
But it's really cool. I mean, it's, you know, you don't do much there. You get there and you're like, oh, here I am. And there's four states. And everyone, you know, jokes about how you could, what if you built a house here? Where would say what you live in?
Oh.
But, but it's neat.
Did you
it's
make
neat.
That joke?
It's neat. Yeah. But it's neat to say that you, you know, I've done it. I've sat, stood or crouched in four states at once. Not everyone can say that.
You're right. You're sitting next to somebody who can't say that.
It's very cool.
Sure.
I liked it a lot. Go see it right now.
I guess before we do, we gotta put this guy in the archive.
All right, I got the keys.
All right.